Another Moss Pig microcast fragmentary thought here. Metaphor occurred to me this morning after listening to this fantastic Dig podcast where they were interviewing this fellow, Aaron. I can't remember his last name, but he had just written one or more pieces in the New Left review about automation and the way in which people have on the left and otherwise imagined that automation is taking away good jobs and we have to do something about it. He complicates that picture in a pretty brilliant way and really makes the case strongly that there are other reasons that we're losing jobs. It's not that automation isn't one of them, but it's not the primary dynamic, and that the real dynamics result in kind of different implications for what ought to be done, including implications for how to handle something like universal basic income. So anyway, it was fascinating, but it was also very intricate, and some of the distinctions felt both important and hard to wrap one's head around immediately without understanding some of the complexities of how the global economy and the local economy work. And it made me feel that, I need to know more about economics and finance and global finance and the history of multinational corporations and the current status of them in order to understand what's happening in the world. But then that also felt just daunting. And if that understanding is required to formulate strategy, it felt like quite an obstacle, quite a hurdle for us to come up with some better alternatives as the left, as progressives, as whatever we are. And so where that led me metaphorically was to, well, so I guess the next step in my thinking was, but really, do we need a detailed analysis to make any progress at all? And I want to say no, that it's not that the detailed analysis isn't necessary. It is, and it needs to be done. But in parallel, we can already start making some progress with some common sense, just with some common sense, leveraging our common sense to come up with interventions that are more resilient. One example is if you were trying to make social networking less evil today, then you might try to regulate Facebook. What would it mean to regulate Facebook? Well, you need to know a lot about the history of regulation when it comes to technology and to communications, or whatever other domain is actually relevant to what it means to regulate Facebook. How do you define what Facebook is? How do you define social networking in a way that interfaces well with the legal system as it currently exists? You also have to understand politics and be a political operator and find a way to interact with the government as it currently exists. And at the end of the day, as useful as that approach may be, it becomes quite daunting because of all of this sort of prior knowledge that you need, and also how complex the system as it exists is. But an alternative is to build something different and start using that other thing. it's not the only way to proceed, and maybe you should also be trying to regulate Facebook. People who are excited about that project should. But if you have a set of criteria for what you think would make a less evil alternative to Facebook, you can just start building that and trying it out. So for example, if ads are a difficult aspect of Facebook, build a social network that doesn't operate on ads and see if you can make it go. And people are doing that with various levels of success. So that's just to say, there's sort of an asymmetry that I was perceiving there. And anyway, to my metaphor, it is the experience that people have when they're inheriting a code base. For anyone who's done any programming at all, when you are trying to solve a problem, you know, you're working at a company, or you're just working on some project for fun, and somebody hands you an existing code base that is some program or set of programs that does work, and it is a way of solving the problem, or it's an attempt to solve the problem. So say it's like a code base for a web page or a database or a physics simulation, whatever it might be that people are doing. If you've ever tried to read somebody else's code, it's often the case that it takes a lot of work to understand their logic, because as soon as it's essentially a machine that somebody built that can get very intricate very quickly. And depending on how they constructed it, if they didn't have a very strong idea around making what they were doing legible to other people, then it can be really hard to understand. And then on top of that, if you have more than one programmer who has come into this project and has applied some fixes, has added their own functions, which are sometimes called patches, to fix things, where you're not rewriting the entire code base, you're taking it as is. You know, they may not have fully understood the full logic of the original code, but they made something, you know, that was broken kind of a little less broken. When you inherit something like this, especially again after these generations of patches and fixes, it can be almost impossible to understand the logic of the thing. And often, I think it's the case that if people have the choice, they just decide to start over. And there's sometimes, there's a whole set of philosophies and approaches to how to handle this, and perspectives on, you know, almost the sociology of programming. And there are various insights like, you know, that's just the natural evolution of things. You build the code base, you don't quite yet understand the problem, it gets complex. And once you've got something that more or less works, it's like this big, complex, creaky prototype that you've made. And then you go back, now that you've understood how to build it in one way, and you've kind of understood the problem a bit better, then you go back and you make it more elegant. And this has an in mechanical design as well. So I guess I'm just imagining that this also all has analogies in socio-technical systems like our economy. And so on the one hand, if you're it's kind of like you're at a company and you're told this is the code base that has already been deployed massively, you know, at scale in many places, and we have no choice but to use this code base and make small changes to it. That's the situation that a lot of people feel we're in with respect to the global economy. And there have been patches upon patches, regulations written to fix prior regulations. And on top of that, a lot of it has been, I think, intentionally opaque in its design, because you have, and there's probably an analogy with code this way too, where, you know, if a programmer doesn't want somebody else to meddle with their code, they might write the function in a more or less obscure way, so it's hard to understand what it does, even though it does some important stuff. Or you make that code proprietary, you make it encrypted, so it's a binary blob that other people can't access. And so there are all sorts of techniques when it comes to coding and to designing legal systems and economic systems and finance systems to prevent people from tinkering or undoing it. So with all of that mess, it feels to me like the alternative is there is a way to go forward with the economy that doesn't require understanding everything that came before and everything that currently exists. Because, for example, if I'm trying to interact with my neighbors and exchange some goods, if we don't have any cash and we don't have any credit and we don't have access to electronic payment systems, we can work something else out, whether it's barter or even creating our own local currency. We can make that up and we can make that go. There are problems with that. It's not going to scale immediately or easily, but there are things we can do. And similarly, I guess that's the main point. And I guess the other thing that occurred to me was the references by Larry Lessig at Harvard to code as law. Sorry, law as code. I just thought, well, you know, as strong as that metaphor may be, this is an aspect of that metaphor that he's probably already explored. I should read what he's written on the topic beyond just the name of the concept, but that again, you know, just makes me think that there is perhaps a useful analogy there. So when I think of the philosophy that people in the Node.js world, for those who are familiar with it, that is a coding community that has been really good at producing small modular chunks of code that work to do one or a few things well. And you're able, when you're writing new code, to bring those modules in and build up functionality in that modular way. And so if I take that analogy, it would be something like, in terms of the economy, do you need to exchange goods and services and materials with only this many people, like a neighborhood size or even a town? Well, here's a toolkit. Here's a set of best practices around establishing that kind of thing independent of the global economy, so that it has some chance of working. Here are historical examples of how that's worked. So that's kind of like the equivalent of having a modular chunk of code with some good documentation and some examples that show how to use it. And then you can kind of go forward and you can prototype, and you don't need, in that coding case, I guess the analogy there would be that you haven't inherited some bloated framework that does all these other things that you don't need to do, or a massive code base that you don't understand. It may still be the case that there are things that you don't understand in this modular code base, but they're kind of chunked, and so you can isolate them to some extent. Anyway, that was the extent of the thinking today. In the show notes, I'll reference Code is Law if I can find it, but really all of this was spurred by this automation talk, which is its own fantastic thing, and worth another microcast. Anyway, that's all for now. Cheers.